Blog Talk Radio.
But he'll be back Thursday. Quite a few things going on. One of the ones I wanted to talk about right away was California. They're going to conduct police are going to conduct a motorcycle crackdown on July 4th. And this comes out of Santa Monica. But it says police look to conduct crackdowns during the 4th of July weekend. It will crack down on drunk drivers, reckless motorcyclists who can cause collisions, injuries, and fatalities during the upcoming 4th of July weekend. They're going to be conducting driver's license checkpoint on Friday. And again, this is out of Santa Monica, but it's going to be statewide. This will be the fourth checkpoint in the last 12 months. And it's part of their ongoing campaign to reduce the numbers of injuries and fatalities and alcohol-related or involved crashes. Drivers who plan on drinking should have a designated driver or call a taxi. You can contact the Santa Monica Police Department, and they'll tell you about the free tows. On Saturday and Sunday, as part of two specialized motorcycle safety enforcement operations, which are unconstitutional, additional officers will be patrolling areas frequented by motorcyclists and prone to crashes. So downtown Santa Monica, down there by the pier and everything, you're gonna get jacked up for nothing. They will be cracking down on traffic violations made by motorcycles as well as other vehicles or other vehicle drivers that can lead to motorcycle accidents. They say motorcyclists are more vulnerable than others sharing the road. That's true, because people don't pay attention. They're texting, talking on the phone, bullshitting. It also says that we require special skills. Yeah, it's called defensive driving. Me, I happen to carry a ball peen hammer. That helps out a lot. Trust me. The other one I wanted to talk about, just getting up into this, is a 9/11. It's a 9/11 memorial. This is going to be down in San Diego on the bay. But what this will be is... This is going to be the 10th anniversary of the terrorist attacks in the World Trade Center, where we will pay tribute to honor our fallen heroes. The ceremony begins at 2:30 on Sunday, September 11th, on the flight deck of the USS Midway Museum. It's at 910 North Harbor Drive alongside Navy Pier. We've had some very recent additions to our previous memorial format, thanks to the U.S. Navy, which will make this year's memorial event unforgettable. It will present the colors by the Marine Corps Honor Guard. The San Diego Emerson Society will play pipes and drums, the San Diego Fire Department, the Orange County Fire Department, the U.S. Border Patrol, the Irvine Police Department, singing the Star-Spangled Banner accompanied by the U.S. Navy Band and a four-jet flyover in the Missing Man Formation. An 11-star read presentation by the commander of the U.S. Navy Southwest and guest speakers. This will then be followed by the reading of the names. A San Diego Fire Department helicopter flyover, a 21-gun salute, and twin taps. Since this year's anniversary memorial is so special, the dinner at the dinner reception hosted by the Fire Department of New York retirees of California will be held on the flight deck of the Midway immediately following the memorial ceremony to stay and enjoy a wonderful reception complete with entertainment, good friends, and hopefully a marvelous sunset. Anybody that wants to get any contacts that you need, if you wish to participate in the reading of the names or in any other capacity, please contact Jack Tail at 858-451-2902 or email. Well, I'll put this in the chat room for anybody. This is going in the chat room right now. Trying to load something up as soon as it comes up. What I'm trying to do is get everything squared away here. There's a few things. People asked me a couple of comments. I got a text a little while ago about an incident that happened in last May. That person will be calling in a little bit. It's kind of going to be a surprise guest. And since I put all the contacts in there, I should put what it is. Sorry about that. Usually when Bill's here, I do all the typing and getting everything squared away while he talks. But I was supposed to have a co-host tonight, but seems something happened and it didn't pan out the way it was supposed to. What we're going to talk about was something that happened over the weekend. We went to a charity ride up in Irvine for the Santa Ana Boys and Girls Club. Showed up on time like we were supposed to, everything, and then about 35, 40 minutes before we were supposed to take off, an incident happened with an act of discrimination. And basically, someone was told they had to take off their colors, and didn't work out the way it was supposed to. So we left. We ended up at the Blues Festival, which was the end destination after the coast ride. There for a little while, had a little fun. Got to watch people riding around. Actually, Rusty, T-Rod, and Gene riding around on the sidecar bike in the grass. Pretty cool. I tried to get the video to load. I was going to put it up, but I had a problem with it loading. I'm not sure why. I'm checking that out. But in the next couple of days, I'll be able to put that video up. And then about an hour or so after getting there, some people went for a ride. They had another run down the road called the Born Free Ride. They went in there, and they were basically told the same thing. Got to take your colors off. And, of course, they was refused to do that. But yet they got, when they sat down to eat, they were surrounded while they ate and then asked to leave after they ate. It's just getting worse. Whatever happens on the East Coast happens on the West Coast. Whatever happens on the West Coast happens on the East Coast. It's just running rampant. People don't know. I guess someone asked the question if they knew what the Honor Act of 1974 was, which is about discrimination. You can't be discriminated against about anything in an establishment, food, restaurant, hotel, anywhere. But the Boys in Blue decided they were going to try and spoil the day. But they really didn't, because it turned out to be a great day with great people. I got a caller right now I'm going to bring in. Hello, caller on 818.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Is this Phil?
Yes, it is.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Brendan. I'm from 1916 out in North Hollywood, Van Nuys, in California.
Good, how you doing?
I'm good. I heard you talking about the Boys in Blue.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
I was calling in to talk about a bike night that we're doing.
Right.
And we actually just had to move our bike night because of that very same reason. We were not allowed to wear our colors in the bike nights.
Well, if you play your cards right, and you could end up owning that bar.
It was Westfield Mall.
Well, you could actually own a piece of Westfield Mall. They'd pay you off to go away. Do me a favor, and if you could turn down the sound in the back, you're getting a little reverb.
Okay, hold on here. Apologize for that. Is that better?
No worries. Yeah. So actually, right now, we're not going to be at Corky's Restaurant and Bar?
Oh, no, we are. That's where we're at now. That's where we moved to now.
Okay,
that's
good.
Our new location.
Okay, good.
Because they're actually very friendly to and open to the color section. And which is very cool. And I'm assuming, Melody, one of our members has briefed you on what we're doing?
It's Bikers for Blood Drive.
Exactly. Well, 1916, we actually have a bike night event with a bike show every month. And every month we pick a different theme, you know, like in a different charity to help so that it gives. Just because we wear patches doesn't mean we're all bad people. And we like to show the community that we have some sort of, you know, charitable nature to us.
Right.
And that's why we got the Bikers Out for Blood, because we're doing a blood drive for Cedar Cyanide Hospital, which is right here in our area.
You know, it's like these guys Saturday. It was for the kids, man, you know. And I guess what it all boils down to is who had the bigger dick.
You know, and that's about it. That's how it works. You know, we've actually, we've been fortunate. We've been able to, you know, sidestep and, you know, keep on the right side of, you know, the people that make those decisions.
Right.
But, you know, our last event last year was, you know, we moved it to Corky's, which is just a beautiful place for us now. They love us. They're all about that whole community thing. We've got, you know, they love the old cars that come out once a month, and they love the fact that we come out and do charity events based around this bike show.
Right.
So, but yeah,
that's usually what it is. That's usually what it is. Everybody gets involved in just the bikes and all that and the cars and everything. That's just eye candy. That keeps everybody interested.
Yeah. And it's good because, you know, it gives us a chance to, I don't know how many other bikers out there, you know, have the same problem, but the minute you put on that patch, you start getting a little bit of harassment, and we have to go out of our way to prove that we are not public enemy number one.
No, but we shouldn't have to go out of our way and prove anything.
Exactly, you know. But unfortunately, you know, and it's really unfortunate that society deems us, you know, as demons the minute we ride a motorcycle and have anything on our back. Doesn't matter what it says.
No, even if a cop just says hello to me on the street, I ask for his business card, and then I fill out an IA complaint just for harassment.
You know, it's actually, yeah, you know, it's, I've gotten involved with out here locally, the Abate and the AMA, simply because it's, everybody has to do their part in some way to help keep this stuff from, you know, actually continuing, you know, and stand up to the powers that be. You know, this is
anything else. Yeah, if you get 10 people to get a ticket, 9 of them are going to send in a check.
Exactly. They're going to send the check in and not ask any questions.
Right.
You know, and the police are not the ultimate authority. You know, they write the tickets.
No, they're the biggest gang out there.
Yeah. Nobody ever questions whether or not they are right or wrong. And if, you know, and I highly recommend that everybody should know exactly what they're doing, you know, and question authority, basically. You know, if they say no, ask them why. You know, and, but, you know, that's just my personal thing, and because I have lawyers that I work for, so I don't worry too much.
No, you should never have to worry about anything. If you believe in what you, if you believe in yourself and you believe in what your rights are, you can stand up for yourself, then by all means do it. I learned a long time ago, you deserve what you tolerate.
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, I mean, I don't want to tie up your whole show. You know, I'm assuming you've got, like, some topics you want to talk about.
No, go ahead. Tell me a little bit more about this. Give me the background on all your stuff with this, how you got involved, how it started.
Well, actually, 1960 came about because there's a shop in Van Nuys that most of us have been taking our bikes to and buying our bikes from and just getting advice from. It's called AIP Racing, and we all met through there. We started riding together, and a few years ago, we decided, you know what, let's make a club.
Uh-huh.
And we put our club together. We started, you know, we wanted to focus on the charity aspects and help our community. And once that happened, you know, it just kind of snowballed. You know, we started meeting on a weekly basis, and we had a great bike night. We found that it was just a great way to meet more people to ride with on our Sunday rides. And, you know, and then one thing led to another. Next thing you know, we've got this bike night event that came about, you know, with a lot of hard work and dedication by the club members. And the next thing you know, we've got this, it's a very big bike night and bike show, which has turned into a show vehicle competition series. And, you know, and it just keeps snowballing, getting better and better every year. You know, and like I said, last year we were able to donate to one of the local children's hospitals.
Right.
And since this year we're getting, you know, a few hundred more people than last year, we've actually been able to expand. And like I said, we picked out a topic for this month. It's blood drive. You know, bikers out for blood. The local media loves that. Next month, we've got to talk about that tonight, but which charity we want to pick up for next month. But when you tie bikers that want to show off their bikes with people who want to look at their bikes with some sort of, you know, doing good for the community, it's an amazing bond that kind of happens naturally, you know. And, you know, and it's all based around our love for motorcycles and our love for riding. You know, we are a riding club. You know, we ride most of us ride every day. But you know, definitely every Sunday, you know, we get out there every weekend. We're out taking a trip somewhere. You know, supporting local events, you know, and meeting more people. You know, and it's just, we built a nice little family for ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's really amazing to see something from the ground floor to suddenly go from, you know, 50, 60 bikes to, you know, last month we had our first bike night at Corky's on Van Nuys, in the town of Van Nuys. And we had 200 motorcycles. This was the first one of the year, the first one at this new location. And to find that we have a following of 200 people, I mean, that's just, you know, that's just amazing. And, you know, and this month with, you know, the whole, you know, Bikers for Blood, the charitable aspect and it getting out there to the local media outlets, you know, it just...
How are they welcoming you guys, the local media outlets?
They are very... it's amazing. I mean, one of the local FM stations actually had me and the president of the club come in and do a half-hour interview on the air, you know, for their Sunday show.
Right.
You know, their radio station's picking this up and running with it, and we're not even asking them. People are coming to us telling us, you know, hey, these guys are doing this, and they're doing good for the community. And next thing you know, they're running our ads, and we're like going, how'd you guys get our information, you know?
Right.
And which, I mean, just shows that there are a lot of people that are behind what we do, you
right.
know, and it's, you know, I highly recommend if anybody's in the Southern California area, you've got a tricked out motorcycle or, you know, the sound system from hell, come out. We've got, I mean, AIP Racing sponsors the bike show, and they put all
mm-hmm.
the trophies and the prizes together. And, you know, and it's fucking, it's amazing some of the bikes we've seen. Last month's winner was one that was all decked out in Michael Jackson murals.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the audience, you know, it was spectator vote. You
right.
know, so the people chose that bike. Then the stereo competition, I mean, some of the stereos on these bikes nowadays, I mean, we've had guys pull up with a full matching trailer that matched their
right.
bike that was part of their sound system.
Right.
And it's, I mean, if you have, like, I ride a 97 Dyna.
Uh-huh.
And I ride up on it. It's nothing fancy. It's, I look at their bikes and I'm like, looking at mine going, well, hell, I could do some of that to mine. You can't help but walk away from some of these bike shows with ideas of what you want to do to your bike. I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. You know, and we get a lot of support from various, being in the Valley, in L.A., we have a lot of, you know, people from television and stuff popping in,
uh-huh.
Which is always a treat. You know, they bring out their toys.
Yeah, you're going to have, I talked to Brenda earlier, she'll be there tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I don't want to drop it. You know, I haven't heard for sure who's coming out, so I didn't want to. You know, but yeah, we've.
No, she told me, I talked to her about 45 minutes ago. She'll be there tomorrow.
Oh,
or
sweet.
Thursday.
Okay.
The only
yeah,
problem with me Thursday is I'll be here doing this, and I'm sorry I didn't know about it earlier. I could have tried to do a live show from there.
Well, I would love to have you come out. You know, I mean, like we said, we do this every month, you know,
uh-huh.
and so we've, you know, we'll definitely be in touch more because I've got. You know, I've got a whole season to plan at this point.
Right.
I mean, I got a whole season of bike nights that, you know, I mean, myself, I'm not planning them. If we do it as a club, we do it all together as a, make all the decisions together. But, you know, it's, we would love to have, the more involvement we have, the better is how
right.
I look at it.
And
you know,
as long as you send me whatever flyers it is, I'll post them for you.
Okay.
And I can tell you right now, just in today's stats, a lot of it has to do with my babe of the week, but just today's stats, we're at 32,752 page views today.
Nice. Okay.
And that's worldwide.
Yeah, that's very good. So, I mean, yeah, I used to be on radio, so I admire what you do. You know, it takes a lot of dedication to get up every week and put these shows together, you know. And I'm sure
yeah.
that your listeners and everybody.
Right now we have one guy listening in China.
Do what?
We have one guy listening in China.
Nice.
Absolutely.
I don't know any Chinese, though.
No, I don't either. And I don't want to say the wrong. I don't want to say the wrong thing. We might lose them.
I think dim sum is the only thing I know that's politically correct.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, Phil, I mean, next month I would love to have you come out. We're taking ideas. We're probably going to be doing something along the military charity lines.
Right.
As 4th of July rolls around, you know, we want to basically make sure that people think about our military servicemen all through the month, you know, and not just, oh, yay, you know, 4th of July, Independence Day, you know.
Well, being a retired Marine myself, we do a lot of promotion for the vets. Because I'll tell you this, if you're close to a VA, you need to go in, you need to look. If they're sitting outside in a wheelchair or they're walking around on crutches, don't put your head down. Look them right in the eye. Walk up, shake their hand, and tell them thank you for your service.
Oh,
you'll be surprised how much.
I try to.
Yeah, you'll be surprised how much they appreciate that.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, yeah, people just, I mean, it's the littlest things that make people happy. You know, and,
right.
And the smallest amount of recognition is truly more memorable and more important than a lot of stuff that you could, you know, in grand gestures. You know, if 100 people.
When my partner and I go to the VA, we take a, we have an in with a few of the local gentlemen's clubs, and we happen to take those girls with us. And after they tell us hello and everything, and then we're getting ready to leave, they want to know when we're bringing the girls back. Not when we're coming back, but when we're bringing the girls back.
Well, I hate to say it, but that would be my question, too. When are you bringing the girls back? But yeah, I don't want to tie you up too much. I need to get ready because we've got to go finish planning our bike night for tonight. I just wanted to touch base with you, spend a little time chit-chatting with you, tell you about
sure.
What we've got
and if
going
you want,
on.
You can, if you want, you can call. It starts at what time, Friday, Thursday?
Thursday, the blood drive starts at 4 o'clock, and we actually run all the way through till about 10 p.m. The bike show and the bike night.
If you
want to
call in about 6:30 and give us an update, that's fine, too.
All right, I definitely will. I'll
call
you right from the lot.
Okay, tell Melody I said hello, and I'm sorry I didn't get to talk to her, but if she has a chance to call in later today, that's okay, too.
All right, I will be seeing her very shortly, so I will let her know. What time are you on?
Okay. We're on till 8.
All right, I will let Melanie know.
Okay, Brendan, you take care.
All right, thank you so much, Phil.
You're welcome. I have another guest, and hello, Carolyn, is that you?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. I'm excited to be on your show. It sounds exciting.
Well, we have our moments. I took my meds today, so I'm okay. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
The reason I started the conversation with you is I was intrigued by your dad.
Right.
And I've watched a few of his YouTube videos, and I listened to the CD, and it brought back a lot of memories from when I was a kid. In the early 60s, and with my grandparents and my parents and my uncles and stuff. So I'm really into that music.
I got your email. I thought that was very, interesting how you said that the music brought you back to when you were a kid and you can relate to music to your grandparents. It's such a treat to know that your grandparents and even you today can appreciate the music in the style of Count Basie and Duke Ellington. That means...
Well, I grew up on the west side of Chicago.
So that's the music that we're pretty much transcending to listening to?
You're absolutely right there. There used to be, when I was a kid, there was a place across the alley from us, but it was called the Lemon Tree Lounge. And three nights a week, they had blues nights. It was great.
Wow. What street was it on?
Madison Avenue.
Okay.
Right off of Madison and Laramie.
Okay. Wow. So you have the Roy Gaines CD, his new CD, Roy Gaines and His Orchestra Tuxedo Blues?
Yes, I do. I have a song queued up, but I'll let you take
do?
It from there, and then we'll play the song. Yes.
Oh wow. Okay. What's the name of the song you got queued up for Roy Gaines?
Outside Looking In.
Oh wow, that's a great song. Outside Looking In. He really bailed that one out at the Irvine Lake this Saturday at the Irvine Lake
Yes, he did.
Blues Festival.
Yes,
everybody
he did.
They really loved his performance, and his guitar playing was just extraordinary. And when I look at him performing, I'm like, my God, I hate to say it, but to me, he's my dad, and he's better than B.B. King and Buddy Guy. That's my daddy, Roy Gaines.
I was debating. I was going to pick Route 66 or The Outside Looking In, but... I figured since I'm on the outside and I'm looking into this, that was the appropriate song.
Okay, well, you'll be on the inside soon. You're going to be interviewing Roy Gaines July the 14th, and he just agreed to come on your show, and that's going to be an exciting treat for all your listeners, your many listeners, and they will get to have a treat of actually calling in and talking to blues jazz artist Roy Gaines in reference to his new CD, Roy Gaines and His Orchestra, Tuxedo Blues. And they can also, once again, like I say, call in and talk to him, but they can also purchase Roy Gaines' CD on cdbaby.com or amazon.com. So please go to cdbaby.com as well as amazon.com and purchase Roy Gaines' CD. And you also said that you had some listeners over in China, and Roy has recorded albums over in China. And so his name is pretty big over there in China, Roy Gaines.
He just came back from France, didn't he?
Uh-huh. He was overseas for about almost 2 months, and he went to Switzerland, Paris, Monaco, and Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did a tour, and he was moving around pretty much every night. He was very busy, and he had his seven-piece band over in all those different areas of Europe, and he really likes to go over to Europe again, and he likes to be in a position to take his 18-piece orchestra. That's his really big dream, is for his 18-piece orchestra to get caught, you know, catch on to the Americans, as well as over in Europe and other parts of the globe, where he can travel around the world.
From time to time, we'll see if we can help you with that, because I give everybody a chance. We do we do heavy metal, we do country, we do soft rock, we do hard rock, now we're gonna step into the blues here a little bit. But we're going into a lot of things.
Well, that's great. That's what I was talking to you about, and that would be great to feature Roy, you know, as one of your genres of music that you can bring forward live to the public.
Right.
It would be a treat for the whole world to continue seeing Roy and his 73-year-old steady out there playing on that.
I'll tell you what, he didn't seem like he was 73 when he was playing Saturday.
Well, the girls kept asking me, is that your daddy? Oh, he looked good. He that old? Oh, he looked good.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have had his pick of the litter if he wanted.
He could have what?
He could have had his pick of the litter if he wanted.
I guess he could with that tuxedo on.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he was just, I'll tell you what, he was a sharp-dressed guy, and he could play it too.
I know. He was really fantastic, and I thank God that he's my daddy, Roy Gaines.
Mm-hmm. Well, so let me play that song. It's called "The Outside Looking In." This is by Roy Gaines, and I'll bring it back on right after that. Okay.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna play this right now. Does that to me.
Oh,
there we are, right here. I apologize for that, but we'll play this one and then I'll play that one too. That way, that was probably just a tease for everybody then.
Okay.
Everybody told me to avoid you from the start. Everybody told me to avoid you from the start. I said do what they said, 'cause I was listening with my
Outside Looking In. And if out of the CD you sent me, if you had to pick another song to play, which one would it be? Because I got to finish this joint, so let's go.
Oh, okay. I like Inflation Blues. Inflation Blues.
Inflation Blues? That fits the moment.
Sure okay.
Go ahead.
And make sure everybody understand, go to CDBaby.com.
Are you anywhere near a computer?
CD.
Are you anywhere near a computer?
Yes.
Send me the links in an email, and I'll post them in the chat room for you.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Unless you signed into the show, you can post them in the chat room yourself. On the show page there's a box that says chat. If you click on that, it'll open another window and give you a chat room. And you can type it in yourself if you want. But if you can't do that, send it to me and I'll put it in the chat room for you.
I will.
But this one is called Inflation Blues.
Okay.
And this is by Roy Gaines and his orchestra, and it's off the album called, or the CD called Tuxedo Blues, and this one is
all
called. Go ahead.
All these songs are off of the new title album, Roy Gaines and His Orchestra, Tuxedo Blues, and it's recorded with 18-piece orchestra at Capitol Records.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
Now listen, Mr. President, all you congressmen too, you got me all frustrated, and I don't know what to do. Try to make a dollar, can't even save a cent. It takes all my money just to eat and pay my rent. That's why I've got the blues. I've got those inflation blues. That's why I've got the blues. I've got those inflation blues. Oh, yeah.
Carolyn, are you there?
Yes, I just want to say thank you, and I think this CD is comparable to Ray Charles' Big Band in 1961.
Right.
And once again, I just want to say thank you, and you have a wonderful evening there, and thank you for playing blues for this
voice. No worries. If you want to hang on a minute, I got a couple three callers. One's going to call in a second, just send me a message, but I have a guy on from Boston. His name is Peter.
Uh-huh.
The other one that's going to call is from Greeley, Colorado, and if I can get Teresa from Michigan to call in, they wanted to ask some questions.
Oh, okay.
So I'm
going to
unmute.
I'll hold on.
I'm going to unmute Pete right now, and then I'll introduce you guys, and then if he has the questions, he can go for it. Hello, Pete. Are you there?
Okay.
Hello, Pete. Pete.
I'm sorry, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, Pete? Pete, we have Carolyn on the phone. This is Roy Gaines' daughter. We've been giving Roy a little airtime tonight with his music and his orchestra.
I love it.
We're promoting his CD called Tuxedo Blues.
I love it.
Right, thank you.
Very, very, very relaxing, very, very, very bluesy, just very funky. You know, I'm laying here, I was listening to it. I don't usually listen to that type of music, but I'm like, I'm digging this.
All right.
I love it.
Well,
I love it right
I'm
on.
I'm sure Roy appreciates you participating in enjoying his music.
I was a little
so,
stressed out when I called into the show, and then I heard that, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm really calm, you know. I'm digging
right.
it. I'm digging it.
Okay. You know, I have a blues schools program, and I go to different Los Angeles schools and keep blues music alive. And so in February for Black History Month, Roy came and performed for the students, and they were middle school students, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And he performed Inflation Blues, and believe it or not, the kids went wild. I think because they felt that that was the lyrics are pertaining to, like, rap, but it's not the rap of today. It's the rap from a different genre, which is associated with blues and jazz. But my father's actually rapping on that song.
Well, my opinion about blues has always been the people, the singers, the blues singers are singing the truth about how they feel. And that reaches
That's correct.
Them, you know?
That's absolutely correct.
You know, it's like if they're feeling like it's in, if they're having a bad day and they write about it and they make a song and they sing about it, you know, people can relate to that. Like, man, you know, this is really touching me, you know. So,
well, like you just came on Phil's show and you just said that, you know, you were kind of like not having a good day, but then when you turned on Phil's radio show, you heard Inflation Blues, and it kind of like cooled you out. It mellowed
you
out.
Oh, believe me, if you were to meet me, I'm very wild. But then I'm laying on my bed, and I called in, and I heard it. I'm like, wow, man, I'm digging this. You know, this I'm relaxed now. You know.
You know, I'm holding the CD in my hand, and I have a little background stuff here on Roy, but the second paragraph says, She says, this is the legendary Roy Gaines, but the blues often have a dressed-down attitude. Life is hard. My lover left me. I'm drinking too much, etc., but not in this case. The blues we hear on this disc have been neatly arranged for a swinging big band that can be performing at the elegant ballrooms of the most prestigious hotels, thus the Tuxedo Blues. And this lady here, her name is Helen Burgers. She's absolutely correct. I agree with her 100%.
Well, it's definitely a big twist to your show, Phil, you know. And that's great.
Well, you know, it's like we do, Pete. We do a little heavy metal. We do a little rock. We do a little soft rock. We do country. And right in between all that, we're coming up with the blues. And I'm not partial to anything but the blues myself.
Yeah, it hit me, man. It hit me in a good way.
And once
I'm
going to
bring on Trees. Go ahead.
You're doing well. I can tell you that. You're doing well.
Okay.
Well.
Do me a favor. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Are you in Colorado is what you said?
No, I'm in California. I'm down the coast from you right now. I'm in Oceanside, California, outside of Camp Pendleton.
No, I'm talking about your listener, the caller that just called in.
Oh, Pete is in Boston.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, okay. Well, once again, to Pete and all your Bostons, please go to cdbaby.com and you can purchase.
Okay, let me write that down.
On Amazon.com.
Let me write
cdbaby.com.
cdbaby.com.
Right. And you can purchase the CD.
I'm very interested. I have that. Okay, I just wrote it down.
And I want to bring in Teresa. She's from Michigan.
Thank you.
Hold
okay.
on 1 second, guys.
Okay.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm unemployed. No, I love the music. But you said you were teaching the blues.
Right, I have
and keeping it alive.
Hey, let me interrupt both you guys. Carolyn, this is Teresa from Michigan. Teresa, this is Carolyn from California.
Hi, Carolyn
right, Los
from
Angeles.
California.
Well, hi.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Maybe you can help me find someone. I am executive producing a paranormal romance called Never Can Say Goodbye, and one of the characters is a singer, and she sings the blues. She is. In her mid-20s. So I need an actress who can sing the blues. Do you know of anyone?
Yes, she does.
I do know someone. I have to... you're going to have to take my my email and email me.
I'll take care of that for you.
Okay, well,
I'll take care of that for you, Carolyn.
Okay. I know this young girl, but I just have to locate her, and she's fantastic.
Yes.
I did. My father played on the rhythm and blues cruise. We went on the cruise for 7 days, and I had to teach the kids about the history of blues. And then I had to create a 30-minute concert with the kids. And this little girl, she's about the age that you're talking about. She might be about 18, 19 by now, but she could really sing the blues.
Well, the character is in her mid-20s, so I need somebody who is. At least 23, 24. So the character is about is 26. But I need somebody in that age group.
I'm sure we could find you someone. That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, that would be great.
We are. Okay.
I'm grateful you're keeping the blues alive, because it's such a big part of the history of this country. I mean,
you always got to keep the blues alive, always.
Oh yeah.
Well, I understand from what my father, Roy Gaines, has, you know, stated many statements about blues being kept alive. He said by me going out to the different schools and keeping blues alive, he said that blues it would be filtering in different pockets where people would not be able to hear the blues or learn about the blues, because I understand that a lot of people don't know about the blues and they're afraid of the blues. And I had read an interview on Buddy Guy, and he kind of said the same thing, but in a different way, that a lot of people don't listen to the blues because they don't know about the blues. And then everybody thinks the blues is sad, and like Buddy Guy said, well, you know what, give me a chance to play you some blues, and then you make a decision if it's sad. It's the same thing about Roy, this new album, Tuxedo Blues. What he did was he had taken blues and put jazz on top of it. So actually, he dressed blues up, and that's why he wears the tuxedo instead of just, you know, a lot of blues singers, they like to just dress down. They like to just throw on the jeans or the T-shirt, and that's, you know, or a shirt, and that to them, that really represents blues. But to my father, dressing up is what he always has done. He never comes out the house unless he's in a suit. He wears a suit every day. He wears a hat every day. He wears beautiful shoes every day. Like the host of the Irvine Lake this Saturday, my father did a concert there, and the first thing he said was, man, your shoes are shoes to die for. I mean,
yeah.
He had on these beautiful sky-looking navy blue shoes with a black tuxedo. I mean, he the tuxedo was just, he was outstandingly dressed to me.
You know, Carolyn, the only thing that I regret is we didn't get a picture of him sitting on one of those choppers.
Well, that would be so exciting. Maybe we can make that happen the next time.
Right, or on that sidecar bike. That would have been a kick, too.
Right, it surely would have. So, what's your name again?
I'm Teresa Chase.
Teresa. How long have you been involved in blues or listening to blues?
I've listened to blues off and on since college. So that was a few moons ago, just a few. Won't tell you how many, because, like, it would give my age away, and I'm old. No.
You sound very young, though, I got to tell you.
Well, I'm young at heart.
That's all we know.
One thing about keeping the blues and bringing them into the schools, you're bringing culture back.
Yes,
and
ma'am,
most schools are cutting their music, and that's cutting, you know, it. Music and the arts inspire people, and that they're so very important. I mean, they're actually more important than the sports, because they help make math and you know, the sciences that much easier. And those are the programs that are cut first. And by going into the schools, not only are you saving the culture, but you're giving the students this brand new awareness of life. And I think that's totally amazing.
Well, that's correct, because my first project was, I produced a project with B.B. King at the Hollywood Bowl, and I had taken Washington Prep kids to do a meet and greet with him. And so, but the kids, I don't think they remember, they were actually going to go backstage and meet him. And so this one little girl, when she came out from the meet and greet, she said, oh, my God. She said, I wish I would have bought my guitar. She said, actually, watching him perform on stage and meeting him backstage, she said, that makes me want to go back home and practice my guitar.
Yeah.
So,
when you inspire kids, especially the younger you inspire them, the further they're going to go along in life. Even if they don't be actors or singers or dancers, if they have that in their personality and if they've been exposed to it, they seem to have more courage to try new things and to have more confidence in themselves. So it's so important.
It is important, but still today, a lot of grown people, teachers, principals, they still are not ready for the blues to come into the schools, and it should be in the schools, because I've done projects as, like, for instance, Perry Middle School in Hawthorne, and this little boy, and he's supposed to have been the baddest little boy at school that would always get in trouble, and they came to me and said, well, he got in trouble today, and we don't really want him to participate in your blues schools program. I said, well, we should, you know, let him go ahead and participate in the program. And he turned out to be the little boy, because we had a workshop where I would bring in the local band and teach the kids about, you know, the instruments and how they work and how to play a melody on the instruments. And so this little boy, he said that he liked the drums. And so the gentleman musician that bought his drums in to teach the kids about the drums during the workshop, this little boy found out he was a natural. And so he was a natural. And then the band had to teach these kids how to actually play, you know, like a melody or half a song for the rest of the students because we ended up having assembly. So this little boy played his melody, and they told me the next day he came back to school dressed up and acting correctly and acting respectful at school because of that music. And then the next time I went to, but the next time I wanted to go back to the school to bring the program, and all the kids loved the program. The principal told me, well, I can't come back into the school because she wants to paint the school and buy some flowers for outside. Do you know how that made me feel as a human? That really hurt my feelings.
Yeah. The thing of it is, you made a difference in that child's life, and no matter what the principal does, no matter what else happens, you will still always have that. You made a difference in that child's life, and you helped him turn a corner, and you helped him find something that makes him feel special to himself. And that is amazing.
Girls, I got to butt in for a minute. Philip, my phone is echoing big time. I got to call back in.
Okay, thank you, and nice talking to you.
Oh, I'm going to call back in, sweetheart, and I got to switch phones. This phone that I'm on a speakerphone, and I'm going to call back. I'll be calling back in. But if I don't get through, it was nice meeting you, and keep on doing what you're doing. I love it.
Okay, keep Roy Gaines alive out there where you live.
Oh, yeah, right on. You know it.
Okay,
all right,
thank you.
Take care. Okay, so I'll call back.
We have Kasha calling from Greeley, Colorado. Hello, Kasha.
Oh. Hey, how's it going? Hi,
we're
Kasha.
Going good. We have Teresa on the phone and Carolyn. Carolyn's out of Los Angeles. Teresa's out of Michigan. And you're out of Greeley, Colorado. And I'm holding down the fort here.
Okay, we got a chief.
Yeah. No, Miss Carolyn, that is awesome. I'm just sitting here listening to the songs he was playing, and oh my gosh, that was just incredible.
And once again, what's your name?
I'm Kasha.
What is it?
Kasha. K-A-S-H-A.
Okay, all right.
She happens to be my babe of the week for the last 3 weeks.
For real? She's been calling in. She's been keeping tabs on you.
Yes.
Well, somebody's got to.
I kind of wonder. He kind of runs amok if you don't.
Well, tonight she's actually keeping blues tabs on you tonight. That's pretty good.
What I'm going to do then is, while you guys are there, and I'm getting that urge again, but I'm going to play. If you wanted to hear another song, Carolyn, which one would it be?
Well, it would be for your special guest, and your special guest, one of your special guests just got off the, off the air. And let's see, what would that be? What about Michael Jackson, Rock With You? Roy did the instrumental of Michael Jackson, Rock With You, right before he passed. And Roy didn't even know that Michael Jackson was going to, pass, which we all didn't. So I'd like for this song, Rock With You, be contributed to Michael Jackson, as well as all your special guests that just came on the air, and to all your guests that's listening around the world. Rock With You which is Michael Jackson's favorite, one of his top-selling songs that was instrumentally recorded by Roy Gaines.
Okay, here we go. This is Rock With You by Roy Gaines. That was Rock With You. That was an instrumental dedicated to Michael Jackson. And Carolyn, I have one of my regular contributors to the show. This gentleman's name happens to be Terry. He's out of Chicago. And I'll introduce you to right now.
Wow.
Hello, Terry.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you this evening?
Wow, you know, I'm amazed. This video got such great wide audience. I'm like, it's all over the world.
Indeed.
Yes, we're having some trouble with the guy out of London right now. He's having trouble getting in, but he should be here by the end of the show.
Oh my God. Well, how are you, sir? Did you listen to the last song, Rock With You, by Roy Gaines? And the arranger on that is Les Drayton.
I did.
Oh,
it's extraordinary.
God.
It takes you back to a different place and time, although with a contemporary song. It's a beautiful arrangement.
Okay. So have you heard of Roy Gaines before, or are you his fan?
Well, you know, Roy Gaines was brought to my attention a few days ago by Phil.
Really? Oh,
and I was intrigued. Yeah, I was intrigued right away, having taken the opportunity shortly thereafter to search him over the internet and review many of the articles and YouTube videos that are out there. And I was rather intrigued even further with the Texas roots and the time spent in the industry. Extraordinary person.
Correct.
And it's very extraordinary person, and the music is just phenomenal.
Thank you. Roy is going to be.
Sometimes, Terry, I have my moments, and I surprise a lot of people.
Well, I guess you surprised everybody today, Phil.
And this one was a very pleasant surprise, because the music with our culture is like gold. And I can say that this is a hidden gem that needs to be exposed, because it's
we're going to do that right here.
It's part of our culture that's decreasing in numbers as far as the authenticity of the music. And Mr. Gaines comes from a time and place where the music was real, where it is the very essence of the soul that we call soul music. This is it. This is one of those artists. I'd like to.
What I'll do, Carolyn, is I'll send you Terry's information, and Terry, I'll send you Carolyn's, and we'll see how it goes from there. But that's the whole thing right here. That's the whole thing right here. We have Kasha on from Greeley, Colorado.
Hey.
We have Teresa Chaz out of Michigan. We have Pete out of Boston. We have Terry out of Chicago. Carolyn's out of L.A. And I'm out of Southern California.
All right.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, coming together on the net. That's what it's there for. And one of my producers is from Australia. And the internet has made the world one. And I think that's amazing. And you can talk to anybody anywhere, and it's open to us. So.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
That's correct.
I completely agree. It's wonderful.
It is wonderful. I mean, Phil has brought all of us together through Roy Gaines and his orchestra, Tuxedo Blues. But I wanted to say that Roy Gaines is going to be interviewed by Phil on his show July the 14th, but Phil has to set
he's going
to
do
up.
Hopefully he can stay on the whole time.
Correct.
Because the whole show on the 14th is going to be for Roy.
Oh,
that's
very
cool.
So,
very nice.
So make sure you all call in so you can talk to him and ask him questions, and I think this would be great for all his fans and new fans around the world of Roy Gaines. And if you could play another song, could you play Blues?
Which one would you like, dear? Which one would you like?
Number two, Blues from Hell.
Sure. We'll do that right now. This is Blues from Hell by Roy Gaines and his orchestra. You can get this at Amazon.com or the other one, Carolyn?
CDBaby.com. And Blues from Hell also has my uncle, which is Grady Gaines. And this is my dad's brother, Grady Gaines. And Grady Gaines used to perform and be the saxophone player and band leader for Little Richard. All the way up until the time Little Richard decided, I'm going to throw all my jewelry in the ocean. And they were on a ferry over in Australia. And my Uncle Grady tried to stop Little Richard for throwing all the his jewelry in the ocean and said, man, Will, we got about 54 more dates to do. So can we continue this tour out? And at that point, Little Richard said, no, I'm going to become a preacher. And then I think the song was written by Joe Scott, who was actually arranger and wrote over 25 hit songs for Bobby Blue Van, and my father played on a lot of Bobby Blue Van's early hits when he was probably 16 years old. And at that time, when he was 16 years old, played on Bobby Blue Van's early hits, I understand, I think it's the Rolling Stones. They used to take my father's solos and practice the solos.
Well, you're bringing back some memories to me, I'm telling you right now. But this one is called Blues from Hell by Roy Gaines and his orchestra. So you guys just be patient for a moment. Let's check this out.
Okay.
sweat and tears for 400 years, carrying a heavy load down that black tobacco road. In this great big promised land, they won't let me be a man. The harder that I fight, the more I'm denied my civil rights. How much longer must I wait to be free from trouble and hate? There's a new move from hell. The hungry stares I meet as I walk the ghetto street. My heart don't stop crying as I see my brothers die. Chased by dogs, straight to jail, trying to write a wrong for past. The hurt we seek may never be won, but the battle must go on. How much longer must I wait to be free from trouble and hate? I said the blues, great to hell. Blood, sweat, and tears. 400 years. In the plenty from the land. Long, 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 they won't let me be a man. How much longer must I wait to be free from trouble and hate?
That's some good stuff there.
That it is. That's awesome.
It's wonderful.
I'm just sitting here. Go ahead.
You said you were sitting there. Well, let me hear what you're going to say.
Puff, puff, pass. Puff, puff, pass.
You're funny. You're funny. Well, what's your all opinion of his voice? Does his voice, does Roy Gaines' voice relate to, say, B.B. King or Buddy Guy or T-Bone Walker?
I think he has a flavor all of his own, but that's my opinion.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, B.B. King, you know, definitely has that sound to it, but he has a sound all his own.
Oh, right. Well, what about his style of playing the guitar?
Yeah, it's making me want to pick up the guitar again. Oh, my gosh, just listening to that, it's like, wow. It just, he has a completely different style of how he plays. I love it. Love it.
All right.
What about you, Terry?
I think it's totally unique myself. I think it's totally unique and well-deserving of his own identity versus placing him with someone else. It's just a matter of awareness as to who Roy Gaines is and getting that out there, because he's totally deserving it with the tenure that he has
in
the industry.
That's true. And, I mean, and to all the promoters out there, if you're listening, I mean, I really think that, you know, it's time for us to have some concerts with B.B. King, Roy Gaines, or Buddy Guy, Roy Gaines, or Carlos Santana, Roy Gaines. You know, it's like all the concerts, they all are with the same artist. Every time you look at the promotion in the, say, the blues, the festival guide, it has the same names. You know, headlining all the big concerts, the B.B. King, the Buddy Guy, you know, on and on. You know, Kev Moe, and it's time for Roy Gaines to arise within that arena. I mean, I would love to see a showdown with B.B. King and Roy Gaines, or Buddy Guy and Roy Gaines, because in our genre of music, B.B. King and Buddy Guy, I mean, they are the top. But I would love to see Carlos Santana and Roy Gaines, or some of the other great players out there to perform with Roy Gaines.
Absolutely, that would be cool. That would be quite a show.
Yeah, I'd buy two or three tickets to that one myself.
You buy two or three tickets. You have doubles and triples going on. It'll be a double fill, huh?
Absolutely. It would be puff, puff, pass down the row and back.
Oh, you just have to get your Cadillac and cruise on down and relax, huh?
No, actually, it'd be my black diner and cruise down there, yes, but, yeah, I'd be there.
All right, with your crew, with your motorcycle crew.
Absolutely. When we were sitting there listening and all that, you know how, you know, when you came up and those other guys were playing, and kind of during the day, it was kind of like they were all running into each other, you know. It all sounded the same until your dad took the stage, and we actually stopped what we were doing and turned the chairs and listened. That's when I walked up there and I took some pictures. If you remember when I walked up to you, that's when I stood over there on the side and I listened. I just got away from everybody else asking questions and stuff about the motorcycles and everything. And I just went up there and I kind of hibernated off to the side and then I spotted you. But, yeah, it was great. Just to hear this guy in person is phenomenal.
Thank you. And I want to thank you because at the Irvine Lake Festival Saturday, I just walked up to you and you just connected with me right away. And I liked how you totally respected my father.
Well, it's just like when you walked up and you introduced him and you wanted to learn about the motorcycles and we explained everything to you.
Right. And I want to say thank you to your crew, your motorcycle crew, as well as to Holly Davidson, because when I did, and then I had produced the project with Buddy Guy and Audubon students, where they also went and did a meet and greet with Buddy Guy. And so I didn't have a bus to get the kids there. And at the time, Supervisor Yabron Brickway, she wanted to give us an old bus. And I'm like, I don't want an old bus for my students to ride in to see Buddy Guy. So then I asked, I called up Holly Davidson and asked him, I said, well, I need a bus for my kids to go do a meet and greet with Buddy Guy. I said, and if I can get you all to pay half of the price for the bus and I can get another company to pay the other half, would you do that for me and for the kids? And Holly Davidson said yes. And at that time, the price of a luxury bus was through Coach USA, and the bus was $500, and Holly Davidson paid their half. And I said, well, could you just make the check payable to Coach USA Bus Company? And then I went to Conroy's Flower Shop on Crenshaw and Martin Luther King.
I know where it is. I know where it is.
And I asked them to pay the other half, and then that's how we got the bus to actually go do a meet and greet with blues artist Buddy Guy.
That's wonderful.
Tell us a little more about this Blue Schools. How did that get started, and just by going to the schools and stuff, or how did that come about?
Well, actually, you know, I was born in the blues, and then I had come out here at about 16 to stay with my dad. And then that's when I really got to know, you know, the true lifestyle of being, you know, raised around a blues artist. And all my dad did was just practice. And it's like if you're going to be in his band and you don't want to rehearse, it's almost like saying, please don't come around Roy Gaines. Because he believes in rehearsing and he believes in practicing. And so I went to some of the L.A. schools, and I would go to the music classes, and I would do, like, a research and find out. I would ask the kids, well, how many of y'all know B.B. King? And maybe one kid in there know B.B. King. I said, well, how many of you all know Roy Gaines? Maybe one or two. And then I said, well, then how do you know Roy Gaines? Because my grandmother used to play him, you know, play his music. That's how I know. But I would be in a class of maybe 30 or 40 kids, and they don't even know who these artists are, and don't even ask them who's Bessie Smith or Blind Lemon Jefferson or Lead Belly. And that's how I started going into the schools, and I just started creating projects. And at the time, prior to me going to the schools, I was already managing my father's career, and I was already knowing, you know, how to reach Buddy Guy, how to reach B.B. King. And so my first project was with B.B. King at the Hollywood Bowl, because I had been already, you know, working for my father. So, and I was already, you know, making those phone calls to him and doing all type of research just to, you know, be able to book him or turn him a record deal to make things happen for Roy Gaines' career. So that's how it all started. And then I produced projects with B.B. King, twice with B.B. King, Buddy Guy. And there's one thing that really that was so amazing about Buddy Guy when the kids did the meet and greet. And all the kids, I got pictures when the kids were loading off the bus, and before they got off the bus, these kids were just smiling. I mean, they were so happy. It was like they was getting out of their regular environment of actually, you know, living in, you know, the ghetto. And they knew they was getting out the ghetto, and they knew they was going to meet someone of substance, of standard, you know, that was more than they could actually see every day besides just getting up, going to school, and, you know, listening to the teachers. And so the
you know what excites
me? Huh?
You know what excites me the most about what you're talking about is the fact that you can you got people like Roy and Buddy and just all those old timers. I mean, about 4 years ago, I went back to Chicago and I sat next to B.B. King all the way there. I didn't realize who it was until I got on the plane. He was sitting across from me reading a newspaper doing a crossword puzzle.
Are you
kidding? And then when I got on the plane, the two guys with him in a little entourage, I asked the girl, I said, is that who I think it is? And she said, yeah. And they gave me one of these metal guitars with his autograph on it. I still have it. I'll cherish that till the day I die. Just meeting that guy. I talked to him the whole time on the flight back. It was great. He's a very personable man.
He is. He's very nice. I like the things that he would say to the kids. And that's why I was trying to tell you, like, this little girl, when we was doing the meet and greet with Buddy Guy, she asked him, she said, he has this ring on his finger, and it's his initials, it's, what is it, BG. And so she asked him for the ring, and he asked her, he said, what instrument do you play? And she said, I play the flute. So Buddy Guy told her, if you keep believing in yourself and you keep practicing your flute, he said, you will become famous like me. He said, and when you become famous, he said, people all around the world, he said, they give you things. And I thought that was so phenomenal. And when she asked him that, I bugged my big eyes and I just looked. I'm like, what is this man going to say to her? And he didn't even try to treat her like, you know what, you had no business asking me that. And I didn't treat her like that either. I didn't even treat her like, well, you know, this Buddy Guy, you shouldn't be asking her that. I mean, asking him that. And I was just amazed how he came back and asked, you know, answered her. I thought he answered her in a way that this was something that she could cherish the rest of her life and believe in herself and go on and practice the flute and become famous. Because it was like Buddy Guy was actually telling her, little girl, you can be as powerful and as famous as you want to be, and you won't have to ask anybody for anything because you would have that recognition and they would give to you. And I thought that was a beautiful message from Buddy Guy.
That's correct. I mean, that's... Go ahead.
Oh, no, just because I was agreeing, absolutely. That's cool. That is awesome.
Right.
Do you have any questions, Kasha, for Carolyn?
No. Actually, no, you
How about you, Teresa?
Bill.
You've pretty much covered it. I've got a friend who writes the blues. Susan Taylor McPhee, she does wonderful things. She's going to be, one of her songs is going to be featured in Never Can Say Goodbye. But if your dad's looking for anything new, they do wonderful things.
Well,
her
what
band
you
is
said...
Mm-hmm. Susan Taylor McPhee, her band is Deja Blue. But,
mm-hmm.
she, you know, she's absolutely wonderful. And she writes her own music.
Well, she has I like the title of her band.
Mm.
How about you, Gary? You got any questions? Gary.
Well, could you play another song?
Yes, I've got a question, Phil. I do have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
And my question is for Carolyn. As it relates to the African-American experience and the African-American youth in this country today, there appears to be a tremendous disconnection between youth and adults and youth and their cultural heritage. How does the Blues School impact that issue?
Well, the first problem is that where do you live?
I'm in Chicago.
Okay, the problem stems from just like you have the top artist there, and we all know your top artist is the king of Chicago blues, which is Buddy Guy. But then you had, you know, Muddy Waters, and you even had Etta James there at one time. And the problem stems all the way back from those genres of music, meaning the blues from those genre areas, that you never really heard, and you still don't hear today, that B.B. King or Muddy Waters, I mean, well, Muddy has passed on, but you don't hear of Roy Gaines, B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Kep Moe. You don't actually hear those guys saying, hey, I'm going over to the local school today, and I'm going to spend some time with the youth of today. And if those artists, when they come in town, when they go all around the world, they go to different places to do concerts, and they never go in town and say, hey, I'm going to stop at a school today. That's why there's the gap, because the kids, the artists are not going into the schools. They're not going where the kids are. And that's why the kids don't believe in that music. And, you know, and I even done a project with Ike Turner. And he said the reason why, you know, the kids are not interested in the music, because they don't know anything about the music. They don't hear the music. But the sad part is when I go into the schools and the kids actually see Roy Gaines perform, those kids love that music because now they feel like they're close to it. They feel like the gap between the kids and blues music, the gap is closed because Roy Gaines is actually there at the school performing for them. Now they can actually hear his band. They can hear his saxophone player. They can see his drummer play. They can see Roy Gaines play his guitar. They can see his piano player play. They could see him stand at the mic and sing and belch out those songs. That's why we have the gap. It's because the artists are not going into the schools. If I hadn't gone into the schools and taken Ike Turner into the schools or Guitar Shorty or Roy Gaines or taken those kids to those to the premier venues, Hollywood Bowl, Cerritos Center, the Greek Theater, all those are premier venues that our kids of today and even in the past, I've been doing this since 2001, we entered 2011, those kids are not exposed to going to, hello?
Yes.
Oh, my.
You're there. You're still there.
Yeah.
Carolyn. I think we lost her, guys.
Oh, yeah, no. Got to get her back, Phil, because that was getting rather interesting. It was right on
point.
Yeah,
it was.
Hang on, we're going to do that right now.
Phones, you got to love them.
Oh, I'm telling you, these guys are killing me.
What? Oh, no.
Hey, we're dialing it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, that was some good dialogue, Phil.
She is just a doll.
She's wonderful. I like the fact that they're going into schools because it's so important. Excuse me, so important.
Okay, we got her back.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. I'm
hello, Carolyn.
Uh-huh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, and basically what I was saying is that that's why we have a gap, because the artists are not filtering into the schools and they go around the world and come into the town. If they would just stop at one school, that would make a difference. Because, I truly have exposed LAUSD kids to B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Roy Gaines' name, Kev Moe, Led Belly, Bessie Smith, and so on, to over a million kids between the time that I started Blue School. And, I mean, if they would just go into the schools, it would really make a difference. difference. And as the principals and the teachers and the parents was and the board members of the school districts was rooting and would understand, if I go and ask them, listen, why don't you all sponsor a concert for these kids at your school? If they would have an open mind to, I have so many ideas, but, I mean, they just have to sit in a box in my brain, because when I go in and talk to the teachers or the board members, they act as if they don't understand what I'm saying. So they really...
Oh, politics screws it up every time.
Right. So the bottom line is the gap can be closed if the artists would take time and go into the schools, because, I mean, each school probably has 2,500 to 3,000 students in there. And really, they need to start with the elementary kids, second, third, fourth, and fifth grade. That's where they need to start going into the schools.
Carolyn, my follow-up question to you has to relate. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. My question to you has to do with how the kids are perceiving, how are they responding to the blues?
They respond to the blues. Well, how they respond to Roy Gaines, I mean, they just very enthusiastically exuberated, I mean, to know that they're meeting a legend, to hear his music. I mean, you should see the kids getting up dancing, moving. I mean, they do break dancing. I mean, when we have assemblies, I pick out a certain amount of kids to come on stage to dance, and then I pick out a certain amount of kids to come on stage and sing the background, whatever song he's singing. I'll be like, well, Dad, tell me what part to tell the kids to sing, you know, for the background. So it's like we have a whole show going on stage, and I mean, and it's pretty, pretty busy. And the kids are just hollering and screaming, and I mean, and they love the blues. They're just not exposed to it. I don't know how to say it, but if they was exposed to listening to the blues, exposed to buying their CDs, exposed to going to blues concerts, then the gap would be closed. It would truly make a difference.
I was curious to know what type of historical content is included in those trips that help people to appreciate the road that the artists have traveled in order to be who they are, where they come from.
The
very essence
where
of the music itself, the story behind the blues itself.
Well,
and when I say that, because it's really about social and cultural reconciliation, I think, when you introduce the genre to today's kids.
Well, the genre, I mean, the culture is nothing more than when B.B. King's parents died at the age of 9, and B.B. King's real name is not B.B. King. His real name is Raleigh, and his mom named him after the owner of the Raleigh plantation, because he was born and raised on the Raleigh plantation. But when his parents died, he had to go to Mr. Raleigh and say, well, Mr. Raleigh, I don't have anywhere to stay, but can I stay here on the plantation? And he's asked him that at the age 9, B.B. King had to worry about how am I going to feed and clothe myself. And so Mr. Raleigh was like, you're going to have to, you can stay here, and I think I'll pay you $15 a month, but you're going to have to pick, I think, 500 pounds of cotton a day. And so when I go into the schools and I tell the kids this story, I said, well, do you all think you can pick 500 pounds of cotton a day buy you some Michael Jordan tennis shoes?
Right.
So all that comes into play with the culture, which I keep saying it over and over, the culture is the fact that B.B. King came into the world shortly after slavery. And he came into the world during a time where the African Americans were still picking cotton and they were still singing songs that related to slavery, to their heart, sweat, and tears and pain of out there picking cotton. And picking cotton really came kind of like right after, you know, the hard humiliation duration of what the slaves had to endure all the way back from, you know, the 1885 associated with Frederick Douglass. It's like if we go, if everyone chooses to read the book, the narrative of Frederick Douglass' life, I think we will all understand, the African American culture and what they actually went through slavery. So, of course, if all the artists, and culture is just not blues. I mean, it's Latin music, it's rap, it's hip-hop, it's all of it. All the artists come together and go into the schools, but they're not going into the schools. Like all the top, the heart surgeons, the doctors, the nurses, even the top preachers, you know, if they all would come together, like Bishop Blake, if they all would come together and go into the schools, it would certainly make a difference, because our kids does not have to wake up every morning and see someone walking down the street with their pants hanging down.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that's the key point that I was really looking to see. What is the inspirational piece that really engages the kids to help them to see that the journey of others that preceded them, even in the entertainment industry as far as the blues is concerned, was one of arduous and struggled at times, that was related into their art, and it was their work at the same time. We're talking about access to opportunity, and how this message that you're bringing forward helps kids to understand how to go from here to there and take advantage and identify where the access is and take advantage of the opportunities that are out there.
Well, I mean, when I go in and I teach the kids about, like you said, opportunities, say opportunities of blues, meaning all genres of music. All genres of music, I teach the kids, you're going to need a booking agent. You're going to need someone to book the concerts. You're going to need someone to answer the phone. B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Roy Gaines, when you do their concerts, you're going to need someone to build the stage. You're going to need a lighting person. You're going to need an engineer. I mean, you're going to need a writer to write the story about B.B. King or Buddy Guy or Roy Gaines. You're going to need a writer. You're going to need a publicist to get your name out there. You're going to need a marketing person. And the reason why B.B. King and Buddy Guy and Carlos Santana are all as big as they are, because they have all those entities, and those are their different opportunities that has made B.B. King and Buddy Guy and Roy Gaines. I mean, not Roy Gaines, but Buddy Guy, B.B. King, Carlos Santana, Kip Moe, even Monterey Booking Agency in Chicago. Those are the different entities and opportunities that have made those companies and those artists arisen to, I'm in school. I need humanities class to get my bachelor's degree. And so in closing, I wrote in there a statement that says something like, I wrote something about the tutor tutored me in the class, and he saw Roy Gaines and Buddy Guy name. Well, I don't recognize Roy Gaines' name, but I recognize that other name, and this is an older gentleman, but I recognize the Buddy Guy name. Of course he recognized the Buddy Guy name, because Buddy Guy has a publicist. He has a marketing person. He has a big-time booking agency, which is Monterey, that puts him out, that has placed him on the map where he has notoriety fame. And the problem with Roy Gaines, he doesn't have that notoriety fame. And of course, I am going to say that I believe, and I know I was raised in the house of my father. I believe my father is just as great as B.B. King and just as great as Buddy Guy, because I'm certain that Buddy Guy's daughter would say the same. He has two daughters, from what I understand. And I'm sure both of his daughters would certainly say the same, that their daddy is greater than Roy Gaines. And I cannot take that from them, but both of his daughters and myself, as well as Carlos Santana daughters, the same as I'm saying, Buddy Guy daughters, Carlos Santana daughters, B.B. King daughters, Roy Gaines daughters, we all was born by men who play six strings. You cannot come by and take that from any of us. We are entertainers' daughters. And we are not just entertainers' daughters that truly pick at the guitar and cannot play. We are entertainers' daughters that can perform on stage, that can play on stage, that can top that stuff on stage, and then come back and let you know, I love the blues, I came from the blues, and I was born in the blues. And I know one thing about B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Carlos Santana, Roy Gang, you better not play with their guitars. They will, all of those genre of men that play that guitar, they would get rid of their woman or their women for their instrument. And a lot of women don't understand that. And the only way you're going to truly understand what I'm saying is that you have to have been born into that world of blues, that world of having a father that's a blues artist. And I'm sure Buddy Guy's daughters know what I'm talking about. And I had read an article where Buddy Guy said, you know, hey, he would get rid of his wife because of his guitar. He said because his guitar is what makes the people know who he is, and that's why he's Buddy Guy. He said it's because of his guitar, and only a certain kind of woman or a child or a daughter or a son is going to understand that. And that's because that's your father. You was raised around him. And I
we
understand
know that,
because I was – you understand what I'm saying?
I do. And we know that the blues some folks say that, you know, I don't listen to blues because there's a negative connotation, but really it's really a celebration at times. And when you think about the background, the circumstances of many of the blues artists back in the day, they didn't have a lot to work with, and they worked with what they had. And the issue of education I bring up right now, seeing that 30 to 40% of African-American males are graduating high school, only 30 to 40% of African-American males are graduating high school in many parts of the country, brings me back to where we started from, as African-Americans in this country, the progress that we made, and now the slip back to the lack of appreciation for education. Is the blues and is the program, is there something there that really engages the kids in that conversation once again to continue their education so that they can enable themselves to, if they should decide to become artists, to manage their careers in a manner that that affords them the opportunity not to make the same mistakes that others did, that were very good performers but just didn't have the right tools to see things through?
Well, I mean, that's why I have the blues workshop. I have to explain your question from the point of view of what I've created when I go into the schools to keep the blues alive and to expose the kids to blues music. Well, I go in and I expose them to the instruments. And so I would hire local bands, and even my father. So the bands would come in and they would do workshops with the kids where they get hands-on experience from each musician that plays, say, in my father's band. So they would be exposed to the instrument, touching the instrument, seeing the instrument, playing the instrument, so they can walk away with saying, you know what, I like the way that drum sound. I like the feel when I was beating on that drum. I think I'm going to go home and ask my mom to buy me a set of drums. And so I worked at one school, Gompers Middle School. So I went in and I created assemblies, three assemblies. But then when I went in, I asked, okay, I would like for those kids in the music class, the music students. It was 60 music students. So I went in and asked the principal and the teacher, I said, could these students, 60 kids, play behind my father, and these are 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and I want them to be the blues orchestra behind my father while he's playing his music. So then I went back to Roy Gaines, and I asked him, I said, Dad, I said, could you break this music down, make some lead sheets up for these kids where they can play your music? And my father did that for me, and he did it for the kids. And so when the assembly time came, you had 60 kids behind my father doing three sets of assemblies playing his music behind him while he was singing. So I think that's educational, and I know that they walked away with a feeling, with an experience that they would never forget, and certainly they could say, you know what, I was in the sixth grade. I played behind legendary Roy Gaines, and that makes me want to be a guitar player. That makes me want to be a singer. And then we had the kids that sung the background, and then I had these other little kids that could really dance. They was up there dancing like Michael Jackson to the blues. And I had all that featuring going on. And then I had kids to set up. I had kids that would read, that I had wrote out, little plots for them to say, to share information in about Roy Gaines, Buddy Guy, B.B. King, Etta James. And they all shared some knowledge. And I gave each kid, say, this kid A, you're going to talk about B.B. King. Kid B, you talk about Roy Gaines. Kid C, you talk about Etta James. Kid D, you're going to talk about Bessie Smith. So, yes, I mean, when I went in, I tried to make sure that I set up a situation where those kids could learn and they could remember, and at the same time, they all learned blues music, and they all learned blues in the sense of they was having fun. And then I also did art. I would do art where they drew their own interpretations of Lead Belly, Bessie Smith, Muddy Waters, Buddy Guy, and Roy Gaines, and so on. And so then we would take all of their art and make it into an art exhibit. One time I had done an art exhibit at Markham Middle School. It was a Latino, it was Cinco de Mayo. And so they hired me to come in and put together art, blues art with Latin art. We had a mixture of art that was Latin and blues art, and these kids, they created so much Latin art, and they created so much blues art, and we brought it all together, and then this teacher, the art teacher and I, went into the library and decorated the whole library with nothing but blues and Latin art for the students, and then we had a whole week where on the class periods were 30 minutes, I mean, were an hour. So what we did was, 30 minutes, the half of each hour of the class time throughout the whole week of every day, we had kids coming in two classes at a time, and then I would narrate each component of the different art to the students. And we had different components. We had an Easter section that was made out of art. We had a Christmas section where I had taken boxes from the store, and I had the kids wrap the boxes with Lead Belly, Roy Gaines, Buddy Guy, B.B. King, and they wrapped them up like it was a gift, and they decorated that Christmas area and made it look like Christmas. They decorated the Easter area and made it look like Easter, and then they made their own guitars out of cardboard, and they decorated their guitars. I mean, it was on and on. But it was beautiful, but it was educational at the same time, and they came in and they looked at the art, and they got to learn. And then I had the kids write out information on each piece of the art that says, you know, Muddy Waters was a guitar player from the 50s and da-da-da-da-da, and he was on Chess Records. When they looked down at that art, they could read and they could learn something, and they could remember the one number one thing, you know, their Buddy Guy used to work at a gas station when he was a little boy. They could remember that. Hello?
We're here.
Sounds good.
We're just listening because you're giving out some good info right there.
And you've got
the only thing I want to tell you guys is right now we're going into the archive. The show is still live, but we're not streaming. So whatever you want to talk about, it'll be in the archives. And everybody that's on, if you want to, that's cool too.
Okay, I just wanted to say I love your energy. I just wanted to say that I love your energy. I love your passion. And I think that you are your father's best advertising because.
Absolutely.
You love him. You love his music. You are behind him and you support him. And it's not just a daughter being proud of her father. You are taking it to the next level because you are reaching out to the next generations. And that is amazing. So that makes you amazing in your own right. I am very grateful that you are doing that for the next generation because you are saving the art for the children. and that is a miracle.
Thank you. That's my passion. And I mean, it makes me want to cry because it's like Buddy Got Kids, you know, they don't know the status of me being in the business. You know, they think that, oh, you know what, she's just somebody that, you know, want to come around, you know, my father or B.B. King Kids. You know, mm-hmm. they probably don't know that actually, you know, I am the president of Seven Entertainment Blues Schools program. And that arrived all out of me going into those schools just researching and finding out, okay, these kids don't know who these artists are. And I'm going to be the one to deliver the message to them, just like Frederick Douglass. I mean, he became a great orator out of, you know, out of slavery. And then because of him, he made, you know, he changed certain status and certain positions of the world and made people the women organization. He made people stand taller just because he was smart enough to get up and go make something greater happen. Even though he was in slavery, he didn't take it to the fact that, okay, you know what, my mindset is going to remain like that, and I'm not gonna change, and I'm not going to go and become a positive role model for the world. Because he believed that he was going to get out of slavery. And so I believe that, you know, that I can make a difference to the youth of today and deliver blues to them. I mean, I would love to do more greater projects than I have done since 2001 to now. I mean, I would love to do a project where I had 5,000 or 10,000 kids in a venue, and I got B.B. King, Roy Gaines, Buddy Guy, Kev Moe, mm-hmm. Carlos Santana, even some of the movie stars sitting there actually telling these kids, look, you all come to school and you're trying to deliberately wear your pants hanging down when you leave out of school, and you don't pay attention to your teachers. You disrespect your teachers. You disrespect your principals at school. And by me working in the schools and going through there and delivering this blues and creating all these projects, I got to see these kids, how they talk to the principals, disrespectful. And in my mind, I knew that was something that I would have never, ever dreamed of talking to the principal in any kind of way. They have no respect for the principals and the teachers. And this is a hush-hush situation within the school system. They're not making
when you
it
go
apparent.
Into the schools, when you go to schools, you're talking more about your father's music. You are presenting a good role model. You are showing them what can be done, and you're inspiring them to reach higher. And that is amazing. That's what needs to be happening. It doesn't matter what your ethnic is. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It's if you believe in yourself and if you're willing to have faith in yourself and to help others and to do the hard work, you can make almost any dream come true. But it starts with believing in yourself, and that's the gift that you're giving them. And that's what's so amazing.
Well, you know, there's this, when I did the project at Perry Middle School, the kids had the girls, they were the background singers for the blues artists. And so we did out like 3 or 4 similes in that day. But then they asked us, you know, prior to coming back that evening, the day of the similes, the staff asked us, well, say the Mrs. Hawkins, she was the Title I coordinator, and she asked us, could the band and everybody come back for that evening for parents' night, and it was raining and pouring down rain, and all them little girls who were the background singers, let me tell you, it was pouring down rain, and we had to be to school at, I think, like 7 or 8 o'clock that evening, and these kids had already performed and done their 4 assemblies. They were so excited that they got to be on stage in the front of their whole school and sing blues music, and these little girls, do you know, it blew me away, they came to school very, very early in the rain because they enjoyed the experience of singing that blues and what they had experienced early, and they wanted to feel that feeling of singing the blues and being a part of something that was phenomenal to them that they would have never experienced if Carolyn Washington, if Roy Gaines' daughter, had not gone into the school and exposed them to blues.
Yeah. Anyway, anyway, I need to take off.
Okay.
I will be emailing you probably tomorrow. And you know, I think we'll be able to help each other. But thank you. Thank you for the children.
Thank you.
Okay.
And Phil, if you could play one more song, and then I'd like to sign off.
Okay. Philip, I will be talking to you later. And Kasia, thank you. I will talk to you later, too.
Bye-bye, Miss Teresa. You have a good night, hon.
Oh, you too. Bye, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye. And don't forget to get Roy's Gang's CD from CDBaby.com.
Okay. And so always remember to support the military. Because they're supporting
right.
us. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Could you play that song, Come Home? Roy wrote that at 16. I always love that song.
Come home? Sure, you got it. This is Come Home by Roy Gaines and his orchestra. Here we go.
Thank you. Interview. Hold on now.
and plan to do. I want you to do what you want to. Oh, but come on home when you're through.
Come Home by Roy Gaines. That's some good stuff right there.
It really is. I want to say thank you, Phil, for having me.
You're welcome back anytime.
To be on your show, and good looking out for Roy Gaines and his orchestra, Tuxedo Blues. And once again, I know I keep reiterating, you can get the CD, Roy Gaines Tuxedo Orchestra Blues CD, on cdbaby.com. And Phil, it has been an extraordinary pleasure to be on your show this evening. And to all your talking guests, I want to say thank you all for listening and talking to Carolyn Washington, Roy Gaines' daughter. And I like to keep blues music going and forever. And my love is my passion, blues. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night, Mr.
Washington. Okay, thank you all, and you all have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Thank you guys for calling in
tonight.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a ring after.
Okay,
okay.
Thank you.
We'll see you.
All right. Okay, bye.
All right, good night, guys. We're out.
Bye.
Thank you, Terry.
All right, talk to you later.
Okay.